Welcome to another BlindBargains.com exclusive audio podcast brought to you by the AT Guys, your assistive technology experts. Visit ATGuys.com today for all your technology needs. Now, here's J.J. Meadow.
We're here on Blind Bargains with David Chavez. He is a designer, inventor of all sorts of different types of products, everything from an innovative litter box design to a table and chair set for children. But the reason we're talking here today is a concept for a Braille watch called Haptica. David, welcome to Blind Bargains.
Thanks, JJ.
Why don't we start off by just giving us a little bit of your background, what you do for a living, and how you got interested in this project.
Okay, so about 7 years ago now, I guess it is, I decided to go back to school to get a degree in product design, which, you know, it's a pretty broad profession as far as covering anything from automotive design to consumer electronics to kind of point of sale displays and kiosks. It could be medical device design, pretty much anything that's mass produced at some point. A product designer or an industrial designer is brought into the equation to kind of look at things like ergonomics, form factor, usability. Sure. For you know, in different aspects, and we kind of a lot of times work with engineers to kind of you know, work out different details and aspects of a particular design and particular needs as far as you know, what the product's intent is for, and making sure that that intent is kind of infused into the product. So it's kind of an unusual profession, but mm-hmm. In the sense that a lot of people don't understand when you tell them what your profession is, but there's a lot that goes on in the background with a lot of products that we have an involvement with.
So. Well, right, and mentioning that, I mean, looking at your site, you seem to have a very varied approach to the, you know, to the types of products. You're not really just focusing on one particular market. You've kind of been all over the place.
Yeah, so product designers generally tend to either work under two umbrellas. One would be to work directly for a manufacturer like HP Computers. Mm-hmm. And in that case, they would spend the majority of their time just working on consumer electronics related to the HP brand. And then the other kind of umbrella would be working in a design studio where you have an opportunity to work on a lot of different products. And as far as my freelance work is concerned, it's kind of tended to be with design studios where I've had an opportunity to look at kind of a more of a broad spectrum of products. So what you see on my website is mostly just conceptual pieces to illustrate, you know, some of the different ideas or directions that I've gone in personally. But
right.
Anyway, so that's kind of
sure.
What that is.
So looking at the Haptica Braille watch, this is an idea now that you wish to take beyond the concept to actual production. So why don't we describe a little bit about the watch as much as you can, and kind of give an idea of the goal that you're trying to accomplish here.
Sure. So yeah, it actually started out in 2006 as my senior project, and I hadn't originally intended to design a Braille watch for blind people. I was just very interested in watch design in general, and mm-hmm. fascinated with some Swiss watches that had some pretty unconventional time movements and ways of displaying the time. And after kind of brainstorming about what it was that I wanted to do, I kind of just stumbled across the idea of you know, having a watch that had articulating Braille on it. And as I kind of started to research what watches were available and if some type of a refreshable Braille mm-hmm. display was being used for watches, I realized that it basically came down to the two watches that you see on most websites, like the, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with, that are either just an analog watch with where you would actually physically kind of mash your finger around on the watch face to
yep.
decipher the time, and then the second one being the digital watch that has an audible readout. So both of those, you know, kind of had some design deficits in them, and so I tried to find a solution that accommodated kind of the need to have the accurate time, but also to have user discretion. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the digital watch is very accurate, but as soon as you push the button, everybody in the room generally knows you're checking the time, which can be you know, disruptive and obviously probably not that desirable for someone who would just like to check the time without anybody knowing. So those are kind of some of the things that I realized. And then I kind of came up with some design concepts and then was able to print out some one-to-one scale models on a 3D printer.
Mm-hmm.
And take those over to the Braille Institute in Anaheim, California, and work with some faculty and staff there that were Braille literate, and tried to get some feedback and design validation for what I was doing, and got a lot of really useful information and learned a lot about, you know, the blind community and just, you know, what their needs are in regards to timekeeping. And I was really interested too in focusing on the importance of the aesthetic design.
Right.
I see a lot of criticism about people commenting on the watch online saying, why is it so beautiful if it's intended for people who can't see it? But for me, the one of the most important factors of the design was to have a product that was beautiful and that didn't look like a clumsy assistive device, that actually, you know, the wearer could feel good about what they were wearing, as opposed to feeling like, oh no, here's one more, you know, device for me to have to use, you know, because I have a disability and it's drawing attention to me in a negative way.
Right.
So I thought that was a great opportunity to kind of, you know, create a beautiful product and really create a dialogue around, you know, why do products for people with disabilities look the way that they do, and why can't they be beautiful, attractive products that people can really relate to and enjoy, you know?
Right. And right. When you see that a lot, products being developed for the blind and visually impaired, and developers will come in and they will not even talk to blind people before they develop their product. So it really sounds like you've put in an effort to look at your market when developing this.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really important part of what we do as industrial designers. I guess if we're doing our job right, is to, you know, generate some concepts and then get out there and interact with, you know, the intended consumer, just to get feedback about what it is that they're looking for and what mm-hmm. their needs are. And especially for, you know, a community that I really didn't know anything about going into it, it was really important to get out there and talk to them and find out, you know, what was relevant to them and to their, you know, day-to-day interactions and
sure.
and things like that. So it was definitely a great experience to get over to the Institute in Anaheim and get to mm-hmm. meet those people and work with them.
Sure. So you've launched the project, the Haptica Braille Watch campaign, to raise some money for this on Kickstarter, which, for those listening who might not be so familiar with that site, it's basically crowdsourced fundraising to raise money for causes. We happened to just find it, just out of curiosity, typed in the word Braille, and Haptica was the first thing that came up. tell us a little bit about how that's going, and it's a pretty lofty goal. So I know there might be some questions about where that money is going to go towards.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're currently, as far as the development of the Braille Watch, we're in the technology exploration phase, where we're really trying to nail down a technology with some engineers that's, you know, that's feasible, that's cost-effective, and that will actually fit in the size of a watch that we'd like it to fit in. Obviously, there's already refreshable Braille displays out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there is some technology that's being used to have the Braille be refreshable, but it doesn't look like anything that we can cram inside of a watch. So, you know, we think there's some other approaches out there that we can take in order to make that happen. You know, seeing as this is a product for, you know, a community that's somewhat of a niche market, there's just not a lot of funding and a lot of effort that goes into creating products for those groups of people. So I've looked into getting grants and, you know, looked into different you know, forums for
right.
being able to get a hold of capital to do things like what we're trying to do, but it's you know, it's been a few years, and every once in a while, you know, I'll check into something and it's just mind-boggling what it takes to, you know, to get a hold of those funds. And Anyway, so when we became aware of Kickstarter back in October of last year, a friend of mine and I decided that we were, you know, going to give it a shot and see. And so, you know, we have it is probably one of the more loftier goals that's been set on Kickstarter to raise funds. Certainly people have surpassed it, but, you know, for different reasons.
$150,000.
Yeah. And I mean, people have, you know, gotten close to $1 million, but the products that they're putting up there on Kickstarter are usually about $25 to $50, which, you know, it makes the point of entry as far as purchasing one a lot less expensive than what we currently have set for ours. So anyway, it's been an interesting experience, and we had a really great week the first week, and then things kind of slowly tapered off. So we're just trying to find different ways to make people aware of what we're doing and try to get people to back it.
Sure. So if people do back the project, and you can do that at any level from $5 all the way up to the entire goal or more, there's various awards and things that are available, including actual watches at certain levels.
Right.
Why don't you go ahead and tell us about a little bit about that, how that works?
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I mean, it basically, you know, for any given Kickstarter project, you ask potential patrons to pledge, you know, as low as $1 or $5, and I think you can go up to $10,000 for a pledge. But basically, we have it set out that if people just think it's a great idea and would like to help move it along, they can pledge $5 and receive no reward, or for $25, we've got an interesting T-shirt that has raised Braille graphic on it, and it's kind of just a bit of a mock-up of what the Snell seeing eye chart is for sighted people, mm-hmm. but we've changed those letters into Braille, and then we've also created a silicon wristband that has raised Braille on it that has the numbers 1 through 9 and 0, so that, you know, people who are not Braille literate can actually start to learn the numbers that they would need to know in order to use the watch once it's made. And then as far as the, you know, the next one up is about 250, and that would be, in a way, it's kind of like a pre-order for the Braille watch. But since it's a technology exploration, obviously it's going to take several months to get through that phase. And then, you know, if we're able to find a direction that will work for us, then we'll go and start working on actually getting the product developed. So,
right. So, yeah, and you can go look on the Kickstarter page. One of the big keys to Kickstarter is that if the fundraising goal is not met, then you don't get any of the money.
Right.
So if I mean, you know, there's about as of this recording, 13 days left, and you're at 45,000.
Right.
What's the future of Haptica if this doesn't work out?
So I mean, obviously, if we were able to get the funds, it would definitely help move things forward a lot faster. If we're not able to get these funds that we're looking for, you know, we just kind of keep trudging along on the budget we have, which is pretty limited. So regardless of whether or not this goes through, we are kind of going to continue working on the current phase that we're on with the engineers we're working with. But beyond that, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a question mark. So, we'll just, like I said, if this doesn't work out, we'll just kind of keep looking for different avenues for, and, you know, to be able to raise the capital that we need to continue with the, engineering aspect of it. So,
right. And you can always hold out hope that maybe some nonprofits or somebody will see that, and if they could, you know, if a few people threw in a few thousand, there was at least one $10,000.
There have been a few people that have been extremely generous as far as that. And, you know, I'm sure there are plenty of people out there that have the discretionary funds to make those pledges. We've probably just not been able to, you know, get in front of them, I guess, in order for them to become aware of it. Because, you know, people that, or philanthropists, or that, you know, have that kind of discretionary funds, spend it on charity events and things like that all the time. It's just a matter of, you know, finding those people and seeing if there's an interest on their part to kind of participate and be a part of what we're trying to do with the Braille watch.
Right. Any any indication or idea of how much the final product would cost?
That's a little bit hard to gauge just because, like I said, we're still in the technology exploration part, but we'd certainly like to keep it around the ballpark of $250, if not a little bit less. So, I mean, again, it depends on what the final technology solution ends up requiring, and then it also depends on the quantity of product that we end up manufacturing. So obviously, if you look at refreshable Braille displays in general, they tend to be around $3,000 to $6,000. And, you know, I don't know the specifics of those particular displays, but I'm sure that a part of the reason that the price is so expensive is because they're, again, for a niche market, so they're not making mass quantities of those.
Yep.
So their cost per unit is a lot higher, and we think that because there's definitely an appeal for sighted people to want this watch as well, that hopefully that secondary market will help to offset the cost by allowing us to manufacture these in much higher quantities. So that's
sure. And even as it stands now, if you could get just a few thousand people to commit to wanting to buy the watch, I don't know how the math works out on that. But it's 3,000 or 4,000 people, and then you'd be at your goal. About a week and a half, 2 weeks to go. As of now. Any chance of, would you come back to Kickstarter again with a lower goal, or would you just try to go a different route?
Well, we actually had a lower goal in mind, but because of some of the reward requirements, I mean, we could do a lower goal and just kind of do like the t-shirt and wristband thing.
Sure.
And only need to get, you know, maybe $50,000 or $60,000 for what we're currently working on.
But giving away watches does...
Yeah, but Kickstarter requires us to actually offer the kind of like end result of what it is that we're trying to do. So in this, you know, in the, like if somebody's trying to get a film created, you know, and they just need money for post-production or something, Kickstarter would like them once they raise the funds for that to actually give away the video or the movie as one of the rewards. And the same thing for people that are trying to put out a music album or anything like that. So since we're kind of trying to get this watch developed, they asked us to offer the watch as one of the rewards. And so in doing that, we have to look beyond just the engineering fees
right.
that we're trying to raise funds for and actually start to look into like generating capital to kick off a manufacturing and product development process, which is where it starts to get a lot more expensive. So it was a little bit of a kind of a catch-22
right.
as far as the amount of money we needed to raise. So, and it's also not just a given that you send Kickstarter an email and they let you put a project on there. They kind of have a lot of discretion as far as who gets on there and who doesn't. So I don't know that we would be able to get back on there successfully for a second round.
Sure. What kind of any other future plans for other projects for the line for other markets? What's in store for you?
So when my two business partners and I decided to actually, you know, start Haptica LLC, that certainly was something we had in mind, that this Braille watch would just be kind of a launching pad, and that we would, once we had that product established and in production, we would start to look at other products for people with disabilities, not even necessarily for people who are blind, but, you know, just kind of look around and see what's out there and see if there's, you know, other products that we could kind of take a similar approach where we could create a well-designed and beautiful product and kind of try to push beyond, you know, some of the current offerings that are out there now.
All right. If people want to get more information about Haptica or about donating, of course, we'll put the links up on our website as well. But how can they do that?
If somebody were just to go to Kickstarter.com and then type in Haptica or my name, David Chavez, it should pull up the page. Unfortunately, the video doesn't start automatically. So that's been an issue for people who are using screen readers. So you would probably need somebody there to help you start the video if you're interested in hearing, you know, what's said in the video. But other than that, that's probably the best forum to find anything out about that. And even after the next 15 days go by and the project's over, they apparently keep those pages up indefinitely. So anybody wanting to can always go back to that page, and we'll eventually have a link to the Haptica. Well, we're in the process of setting up a website called Haptica Tech, TECH.com. Which is where, you know, we'll start out with the Braille watch, and like I said, if we're successful, we'll continue to, you know, add different products on there. But that will be a good place too to kind of go, and we'll try to set something up too where people can still donate or purchase, you know, the shirt and the wristband from that website too to help us continue to raise funds where possible.
Right. Well, David, it's a very interesting idea, and I definitely wish you and your colleagues the best of luck.
Thanks a lot, JJ.
David Chavez on the Haptica, Haptica, Braille Watch. You can learn more by going to Kickstarter, KickStarter.com, and searching for Haptica. For Blind Bargains, I'm JJ Meadow.
This has been another exclusive audio podcast from Blind Bargains. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest technology deals, news, and interviews. So long.